take up your cross and follow Jesus. We live in a fast world. We want to do everything fastly, instantly. We want things to happen fast. So we have instant coffee, instant food, fast food. Everyone feels the pressure of time. We want to achieve goals quickly. So we look for easy way, short way to achieve goal. We also say that I will pay little extra. Can you do the work fast? Now the question comes to us, is this applicable to our Christian faith? Is there a short way to become a great disciple, a perfect disciple? Is there a way so that I can become a perfect disciple? I got baptism today, but tomorrow I want to become a great follower. Will that happen? No, it is not possible. It is not possible at all. Disciple and discipline go together. Discipline makes disciple. Disciples are not born, but they are made. So we are disciples. We are being created, being transformed in the likeness of God. So Jesus tells his disciples, take up your cross and follow me. Take up your cross and follow me. What comes to our mind when we hear the word cross? What comes to our mind when we hear Jesus' cross? Jesus had a cross. What does come to our mind? There are three things quickly I want to list down. We may come up with more than three things, but I thought these three things are very important when we talk about cross. Number one, shame, cruel, punishment, disgusting. When you look at cross, these things come to us powerfully. Someone said, shameful form of death. Josephus, one of the earlier theologian, historical history, author of history, he says, most pitiable of deaths. N.T. Wright says, lowest form of capital punishment. So first, when we talk about cross, we talk about death, death in shameful way, pitiable way. That's how Jesus died for us on the cross. Nobody liked it. The lowest form of capital punishment. Secondly, when we look at the cross, Jesus died for all of us. He took the cross voluntarily for all of us. There is absolutely no pressure on him. He took it very naturally, voluntarily. He did it not for himself, but he did it for all of us. You and me, he died for us on the cross. So in my place, in your place, Jesus died on the cross. Thirdly, when I think about cross, I am free. We are free. We don't need to carry this again. We are guilt-free. Sin has got no power in us. Death is dealt with. That's the third understanding. We can go on, but I think these three are important. When we say that, we don't need to carry anymore. Jesus dealt everything on the cross, but Jesus now comes and says, take up your cross and follow me. Are we contradicting. Salvation is free, but discipleship costs your life. On one hand, we say salvation is free. On the other hand, we say discipleship is costly. How are we going to reconcile this? Jesus has done everything for us on the cross, and now we say, take up your cross and follow Jesus. How are we going to reconcile? I thought I will bring one illustration that should help us. For example, you have the desire to climb the tallest mountain in the world, Mount Everest. You want to climb. So you sat down and you worked out a budget. When you sat down, and when you started thinking about how long it is going to take, your travel cost, your training cost, all that you put it, and it came around 30,000 euros. When you saw that amount, you were taken aback. You thought, oh, it's not going to happen. I don't have money. Even I work for another 30 years, I may not be able to make up this money. I cannot do it. But someone came to you and said, don't worry, I am going to pay that price. 30,000, I will bear it. He is relieved. I am relieved. But the question is, that's the end of mountaineering? Is it the end? No, not at all. I still have to go for training. I have to go for regular practice. I have to discipline myself. So that's what Jesus is saying. I have paid everything. Now you take up your cross and follow me. Salvation is given us free, but then we need to walk that salvation. Take up your cross. You need to commit yourself. You need to dedicate yourself. You need to discipline yourself. Everything is paid. Now I am with you. Follow me. So what is your cross? Or what is my cross? What do we mean by our cross? There again, I thought there are three important things which I want to spend some time. Paul says, number one, I am crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Paul says that I died with Christ. When I look at the cross, when I look at my cross, this is what comes to my mind. I died with Christ, but I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. You know, if you have to, my ego is gone, my natural self is gone, everything died with Jesus, but now I live for Jesus. If you have to write, if you have to put cross, what you should do, you put I and then strike it. That is cross. Your self is gone in Jesus, gone on the cross, and you no longer live for yourself. Christ lives in you. That's a big understanding that we all should have it. Whenever you say that take up your cross, we have to remember that I died for myself. Jesus lives in me. Some months ago, I brought this example, dead man walking. What is dead man walking? When the prisoner is taken from his cell to the gallows where he will be hanged, as he is walking to be executed, the fellow prisoners look at him and say, dead man walking. He's going to be killed. He's going to die very soon. He is walking as if there is no life in him. That's what we should remember. Whenever I talk about my cross, we all carry our cross. I died with Jesus, I died on the cross with Jesus. Now I live because Jesus lives in me. The second understanding, take up your cross. What is my cross? What is your cross? A person came to the pastor and said, "Pastor, I'm carrying two crosses." So the pastor was a little surprised. What about two crosses? Everybody has to carry only one cross. What about two crosses? Tell me, what are those two crosses? He said, "I have my nagging wife and my domineering mother-in-law." He made a joke. That's not the way we had to look at this cross. What is cross? I remember this particular thing told by a mother of a doctor. I know this doctor family. They hired a domestic helper from their hometown, a housemaid. She came from a far place, lived with this doctor family, and helped in their domestic work. Soon they found out that she was pregnant. She was never married, and now she is found conceived. If the doctor family sent her back to her hometown, she will be killed, or she will be thrashed. She belonged to a conservative family. Her life was at risk. So the doctor family decided to carry the pregnancy. Of course, she wanted that. And since they were in a hospital, a mission hospital, they helped her, and she delivered a baby. And with her help, they gave the child for adoption. Now, we can ask several questions whether it is ethically correct or not. I'm not going to go in that. During that process, the doctor family went through serious problem. One by one, they took the risk, they went through the pain, they had suffered. So I was talking to the mother of the doctor, and she said, "When this came to me, we thought we have been given a cross. And we embraced that cross. This came to us, and we did not want to reject. We don't want to wash our hands. We embraced that cross." That one example that I want to bring before you. And another example is, I know about a woman. She was married, and 45 days into her marriage, her husband had a stroke. And in that stroke, his kidney failed. 45 days into marriage, very young girl. So her father came to her and said, "Forget about this man. Leave him. Come out. We will find another boy for you." Now, in her church also, people said, "Why are you still living with him? Leave him." The doctors suggested that, "Look, you will not have a good life with him. His kidney failed." But she took that on herself and lived with him for 14 years. Eventually, he died. But 14 years of pain, suffering, because she was the only earning member. She embraced that cross. So what do we mean by cross here? A task or a burden that you bear for the sake of Christ Jesus. A task or burden that you bear for the sake of your Lord. For the sake of Christ, you chose to bear that. That could be anything in your life. Embrace it. Accept it. And God is there to help you. A man You know, some of us, we think that the cross that I bear is too heavy a cross I am bearing. We may be saying that. A young man was end of his rope. He thought he cannot go any further. He was going to drop everything. So he prayed to the Lord, "Lord, I cannot go. I cannot go on. I have too heavy a cross to bear. Give me an easy cross. Give me an easy cross." The Lord said, "My son, if you cannot bear this cross, if you cannot bear its weight, just place your cross inside the room and go to the other room and find a cross for yourself." The young man was so pleased with what the Lord said. So he left it and he went to the next room and tried to find one that fits him. No cross was fitting him. He was not able to even move some of those crosses. Some of these crosses were not at all able to sit on his shoulder. At last he found one thing appropriately fitting. So he put it on his shoulder and came back and said, "Lord, I will take this cross." The Lord looked at him and said, "Turn the cross and see whose name is on it." And he turned and he saw that his name was on it. Whatever cross that we are able to bear, that's what is given unto us. I want to read words from 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tested beyond your strength. But with the testing, he will also provide the way out so that you may be able to endure it. So we all are given a cross. I don't know what is that cross. Think about the task that is given to you, the burden that you had to bear. Pain and suffering is part and parcel of our Christian journey. Now, in this passage, Jesus beautifully says, "For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it." What does that mean? If I try to save my life, I'm going to miss it. But if I give my life in the Lord's hand, I'm going to save it eternally. Now, we all work towards saving our life. We think that our life is so important that we try to protect this way, that way, by giving us education, by giving us training, by buying this, by buying that. We think that this is the way I'm going to protect my life. This is the way I'm going to save my life. And Jesus says, if you do that, you are going to miss it. You are going to lose it. A good illustration comes to my mind is this. Once people were standing on the beach and watching, somebody inside the water was drowning. He was going down. This man was heavily fighting himself to come out. You know, he was beating the water heavily, trying to come out. The people on the beach called the lifeguard and said, "Look, look, there is a person, a drowning man. Go and save him." So he went inside. He came very close to him, but he did not do anything. He stood at, he came very close, but he didn't do anything. These people who are on the shore shouting, saying that, "Go, help him, rescue him." But he did not do anything. It's all because this man was beating heavily on the water, and he was restless, and he did not give up at all. And in that condition, this lifeguard was not able to go and reach him. Once he became tired, once he gave up, that's where the lifeguard could go and rescue him. We think that our life is in our hands. We think that we can manage ourselves. We think that everything is perfectly in my control. and we try to protect, we try to guard, we try to do everything to keep everything in our hands. And Jesus says, no, 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 you are not the protector of your life. You are not the savior of your life. Allow me. I am going to save you. I am going to lead you. So in other words, Jesus says that when you take up the cross, that's where you will find life. And he says, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. And in this passage, Jesus further says, for what will it profit them if they gain the whole world but forfeit their life? Or what will they give in return for their life? What will you give in return of your life? Can we trade our life with small things? Our life is precious. That's what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 6. Your life is more important than what you drink and eat. Your body is more important than what you wear. Your life is precious. But are we trading our life with small things? Small things? We have some examples from the Bible. They trade their life with small things. Esau, he gave up his birthright for a bowl of soup. Missed it. He could never get it back. And Judas Iscariot, he betrayed Jesus by getting 30 silver coins. He lost it. Are you trading your life with small things? Jesus is saying, don't do that. Your life is worth. Your life is eternally important. Work on that. Work on that. Take up your cross and follow Jesus. A Swiss theologian, he's called Hans Balthasar, Swiss theologian. He says, we can live out our life in two ways. He calls it theodrama and ego drama. Theodrama means God is in the center. Theos means God. God is in the center and everything centers around him. Is that the way you want your life to be led? Theodrama or ego drama? Ego drama means what? I am in the center. I am the director. I am the producer. I am the one who acts. I am the one who is going to produce. And all the people who come and join with me are fortunate that they could join with me to act in this drama. I am in the center. You know, sometimes we think that the sun is moving around the earth. You know, we think that my life is in the center and everything is evolving around me. That's ego drama. And he says, you know, make sure that you are in that theodrama. Then we come to the final one. Jesus says, follow me. Follow Jesus. The first thing we thought when we talk about cross, I die with Christ on the cross and I live for Jesus. A task, a burden. And thirdly, now you follow Jesus. Many started well, but could not finish. Noah and family got saved from the floods, but at the end, Noah was found drunk and he cursed his son. I don't think he ended well. Solomon, the wisest king ever lived on this earth, started very well. But he could not end well. We know how much he was drawn away from God because he married several women from other countries as well. Follow Jesus. take up your cross and follow him sincerely on a daily basis. You have started well and you have to finish well. Mother Teresa, once she was working in her home, in her Shishu Bhavan, that's what they call it. She kept on helping one person to another. Every person she was, feeding him or cleaning him or cleaning his wounds. She kept on doing it one by one, one by one. A journalist who was tired of watching that, he came and said, "When are you going to finish it? I have come to interview you. And how long you are going to do this? You know, you want to be a successful person in this world, isn't it? If you are going to do like this, that's not going to happen." For which Mother Teresa very beautifully said, "God has not called us to be successful, but to be faithful." God has not called us successful, but to be faithful. Whatever little thing that you are doing, take up that cross sincerely and take up the cross and sincerely follow Jesus. The good news is we have not finished our race yet. We are still walking. But gladly take up the cross and follow Jesus. As I conclude, during medieval time, the authors always use this Latin phrase. The Latin phrase goes like this: per crucem ad lucem. Per crucem ad lucem. Easy to remember. Per crucem ad lucem. What does that mean? Through the cross to the light, or by the cross to the light. Jesus took the cross for us, and that was not the end. He rose from the dead and he ascended into heaven. Light came to all of us through the cross to the light, by the cross to the light. When we take up the cross, we may be, no matter how righteous you are, there is no guarantee that you will not suffer. There's no guarantee that we will not suffer. Cross is part and parcel of our Christian journey. Take it up. But through that cross, you see light. May the dear Lord help us so that we take up our cross and sincerely follow him. God bless us all. Amen. We will all stand and sing the response psalm, "Christ Lives in Me."